It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
You may be driving in your car, you may be somewhere where you can't have your Bible open, but I would ask you to have your Bible open, if at all possible, and read along as I'm reading the Word of God. And I do use the King James Version of the Bible. I believe it is the Word of God. Well, right now we want to start our study in John chapter 9. And in order to get started, I want to back up to John chapter 8 and verse 59. Remember, the Jews were going to kill him because he was saying that he was the one sent from God. He had been with God the Father. And of course, we know that Jesus was in heaven. He came to this earth according to the scriptures. Well, they wanted to kill him. And verse 59 says, "Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Chapter 9, verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Well, many times we see some things coming into people's lives, and we wonder, I wonder what they've done wrong in order to deserve what they're getting. That is possibly a human trait or a characteristic, whatever you want to call it, that sometimes we just get carried away and we just don't know what's going on with that other person. Did they do something that God would allow sickness to come upon them? Did they not do something that they were supposed to do, and God allowed this sickness to come upon them? Well, this is what the disciples asked Jesus, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Well, the Bible teaches us that sin came into this world by one man, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. As we think of that verse, Adam was the one who was the original sinner, but we need to realize that after Adam sinned, that man was plunged into sin, and each person who is born into this world is responsible for his or her own sin. We can only get by with blaming Adam for so long. Then we must realize that we are sinners. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It also says, "For the wages of sin is death." And the rest of that verse says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Well, these people we're reading about here in John chapter 9, they were wondering what this man had done, or what his parents had done. Who was the sinner here? Why was this done? Well, Jesus gave them the answer here. He says, "But that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Now, God didn't cause this man to be blind. God does not bring any kind of an illness upon people. This body is sin, and things will happen to our human bodies because it is sin. It's dying. Someone has said, "When do you expect to die?" Well, I really don't want to expect to die. I want to go to heaven one day, but the fact of the matter is I want to live as long as I can so I can glorify God. But someone would say, "When do you think you're going to die, or when is that person going to die?" Well, this body's dying every day. This body is dying constantly. And one of these days, this body, unless Jesus comes back first in the clouds to say, "Come up hither," in the rapture of the church, unless he comes back, then the breath of life will leave my body, and I will be with the Lord. That is when people really look at death, is when a person, when the breath of life leaves that person, when they're no longer breathing, when they're no longer alive, then that is separation from this world. The soul and the spirit, they are separated from the body. The body dies. And by the way, the body is not the real person. The soul is the real person. Bible tells me that God breathed the breath of life into Adam and he became a living what? Soul. The body is just something that is used to transport the soul around. We sometimes get the cart before the horse and we think that the soul is not important, that the body is more important. People spend more time on their bodies trying to make the body younger, trying to keep it young, to use makeup, to whatever they can use, instead of concerning themselves with the soul. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Well, this soul that lives within us, once again, is born a sinner. But when we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that soul, something happens. The Bible calls it being born again. We have a new lease on life at that point. The Bible teaches me that I have eternal life once I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if you're saved today, you need to take heart. You need to be thankful to the Lord. You need to be rejoicing, because when the breath of life leaves your body, you will be present with the Lord. I believe that with all of my heart, and that's according to the Word of God. Well, sin, and that's this body. This body is sin, and that's the reason the body dies. That's the reason this body gets sick. We're walking around dying daily. Well, notice verse 4 of John chapter 9 now. Now, Jesus, I remind you, he said, who had sinned, not his parents, not this man, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Something's about to happen. Verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me. He's doing what God the Father wanted him to do and wants him to do while he's here on this earth. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There's times in our lives when God has given us a specific and a certain period of time to do the things he wants us to do. And for the unsaved person, the Bible teaches me that there's a time of salvation. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. The person needs to get saved today instead of waiting till tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. The Bible says, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. It's like the fog. It appears and then it's gone. So a person needs to get saved today while it is day, because the night's coming when it's going to be too late to trust Jesus as Savior. And for the saved person, we have so many days allotted to us in this life. Now, I say allotted to us, and I remind you once again that this body is going to die physically, unless Jesus comes back for us in the clouds, and then our life is over as well. So we need to be working now while we can. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. And you and I need to be working the works of Jesus Christ. He sent us on a mission. We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been given marching orders. He said, go into all the world, preach, teach, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That means to tell people how to be saved. That means to tell them that once they are saved, there are certain things that need to be done, not to get saved, but because they are saved. After they get saved, they're to be baptized. That means that they go down into the watery grave. There's no such thing as sprinkling a little water over the face or over the head. That's not baptism. Baptismo means to immerse. Jesus was placed in the tomb. He was not placed in part of the tomb. He was not placed on top of the tomb. He went into the tomb, and that's what is representation. When we go down into that water, it's like Jesus after he was crucified. After we've been saved, we're crucified with Christ, but after Jesus was crucified, he went down into that grave. We go down into the watery grave. We're submerged in that water. And just as Jesus came out of that grave on the third day, we too come up out of that water to walk in newness of life. He came out to walk in newness of life because he had another job to do, and that was to go to heaven to make intercession for us, those of us who know him as Lord and Savior. Well, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. We need to get busy for the Lord. Saved person, you need to be working and telling people Jesus loves them. Jesus wants them saved. Now, you don't do that to get saved or to stay saved. You do it because you are saved, and you want to tell and show people how much you love Jesus. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. It's coming. One way or the other, the night is coming, so we need to be busy. An unsaved person, the night is coming, and you need to get saved today. Verse 5. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. There's no darkness around Jesus. Even at the cross, and we read of how that there was darkness that overshadowed a certain period of time there when he was crying. He cried, my Father, my Father. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Bible tells us that there was darkness over the face of the earth during that time. Well, that darkness came because Jesus was dying on the cross. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, Jesus was getting ready to give up the ghost himself as a human being. Not as God. God never dies. He is God. But Jesus, the man, the human, was getting ready to give up the ghost. He was getting ready to die on the cross of Calvary. And at that point, he could do nothing except when that thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He didn't stop working. But there came a time when he couldn't speak any longer. He gave up the ghost. He went into the grave. He died. He went into the grave and he came out of the grave. And now he's working. And because he lives, because he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, those of us who have trusted him, we are on our way to heaven today. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Remember how that God had created man from the dust of the ground? This is an indication to me here that just as he formed man of the dust of the ground, Jesus was in essence here, I believe, forming new eyes for this man, the man who was blind. He was performing a miracle because God had sent him to do these things. That's God the Father. It says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Jesus Christ said, I've come to do the work of the Father, and that people could be seeing that God had sent him. Jesus didn't do these things just for the sake of doing them. He did these things to show people that he was from God and that he was the Savior of the world. The only way the person can claim Jesus as Savior is to accept him as Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't go to heaven the way you are. You must know Jesus Christ as your Savior. How do you do that? You turn to him and you say, Lord, I know I can't save myself. I'm a sinner and I want you to save me so that one day I'll see you personally and I'll be able to thank you for saving my soul. If you'll pray and ask God to save you today, ask Jesus into your heart. He will save you. You come to him faith believing that he is and he will save you today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.